Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
I'm tracking a powerful line of thunderstorms, bringing severe storms to parts of the central portions of the United States. I'll show you when that arrives here and when we have a WRAL Weather Alert Day.
The Durham Bulls scored beautiful weather for today's home opener. We're live at the DBAP with a look at the upgrades fans will notice.
Plus, the German Football Association is pulling the country's national jerseys after claims that it could resemble a Nazi symbol.
Tomorrow is a WRAL Weather Alert Day due to the threat of severe storms. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. Elizabeth Gardner is on the WRAL patio with a look at when those strong storms could arrive where you are, Elizabeth.
Yes. So first of all, we're looking tomorrow at a WRAL Weather Alert Day, and here's what we're expecting. Damaging winds are possible with some of these storms. We could see some large hail and isolated tornadoes, especially in the level two risk area. So I'm going to show you where the risk areas are coming up in just a second. But this storm, ever since we started watching this yesterday, has really looked powerful. We have a new tornado watch that's in effect for central Tennessee, including Nashville. We've had tornado warnings there. Also, along the warm front, a little farther to the north, up into parts of Kentucky. We had for 4 or 5 hours a line of thunderstorms. It looked like it was producing tornadoes as well, and some damage reported in parts of Kentucky with that. So this is the system that's headed our way. Once it moves across the mountains, it's not likely to be as dangerous, but certainly has the potential to do some damage for us. Early tomorrow morning, you can see a level one and two risk back to our west. But then as we head through the day tomorrow, this is a look at our risk outline, and you can see the yellow shaded area in the east, our eastern counties along the I-95 corridor. We'll have a better chance of more widespread severe wind damage, including an isolated tornado or some hail. And then the green area from the triangle area west would have maybe a handful of reports of wind damage along this line. And this is all likely to pick up middle of the day toward the middle of the afternoon. For the rest of the day today, we're looking at variably cloudy skies, a little bit of sunshine trying to peek through some cloud cover. And we're going to go ahead and get through this feature cast here and walk it through tomorrow. So we'll continue to push this ahead as we get through this evening and tonight. We finally start to see that rain moving on in. It is going to be a wet morning commute. We'll have the potential for some scattered thunderstorms in the morning, but it's when the cold front swings through later in the afternoon, starting at around lunchtime, that's when we'll have the better chance of some severe storms, especially in our eastern counties between 2 and 4 o'clock. We'll take another close look at this coming up in a few minutes and talk about how heavy the rainfall will be with it.
Elizabeth, thanks. Raleigh City Council is considering major changes that will impact when and how you vote for city leaders. This is the second major change to elections council could make in less than 3 years. WRAL's Eric Miller joins us now to break down these changes. And Eric, one of those could double the amount of time members of council spend in office.
Council is looking at a number of pretty significant changes here. First and foremost, council is looking at increasing the length of the mayor and council members' terms from 2 years to 4 years and switching to a nonpartisan primary process. Second, elections would be staggered. That means you'd vote for the mayor and three council members in one election. In the next election, you'd vote for the other four council members. Finally, council is actually looking at adding more members here. These new members would represent new districts in the city. It would bring the total number of council members up to 11 from the current 8. Now, of course, these changes aren't final. There's going to be a public hearing held tonight here in council chambers at 7 o'clock. And if council does decide to move forward here, voters are actually going to be the ones who would have the final say. This would go to a referendum on the ballot in November. Of course, we'll be watching very closely to see how this process plays out. We'll let you know as things change. Back to you.
Eric Miller, live in Raleigh. Eric, thank you.
Tonight, you can give your opinion on the Wake County School Superintendent's $2.2 billion budget proposal. The school board will talk about the proposal in a work session this afternoon. A public hearing will follow in the evening. The proposal includes $58 million additional dollars from the county. The superintendent says that money is needed to maintain existing personnel and services that can no longer be federally funded. The work session starts at 3:30 this afternoon. The public hearing will be during the regular meeting at 5:30. And the fees you pay when you hail a taxi in Raleigh may be going up. Today, City Council will consider whether they should bump the rates up for the first time since 2006. Right now, you pay $1.95 pickup fee, $2 per mile, and 25 cents per minute of wait time. City leaders are considering raising that to $3 pickup fee, $3 per mile, and also 30 cents per minute of wait time. They'll vote on the change at their meeting that's happening at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Wake County school bus drivers will compete in a school bus rodeo. Bus drivers will compete at the state fairgrounds to see who has the best and safest driving skills. This is video from a previous year's rodeo. They spell it R-O-A-D, rodeo. Drivers will be asked to navigate a number of challenges, including parallel parking and even crossing railroad tracks.
It's a course that I will recommend that every driver would try. You know, that would tighten the skills up and everything. It's not a hard course. Concentrate, take your time. You can go through it. So hopefully, I'll be the man today.
The winner at the Wake County level advances to a regional competition.
We'll take you live out to RDU this afternoon as more changes are coming to the airport. Your next Breeze flight will be out of Terminal 1. It's the latest move because of growth at the airport. And WREL's Laura Levine is at RDU where dozens of new flights and destinations have been added in recent months.
It's a busy day here inside Terminal 1 as Breeze Airways is on the move, moving from Terminal 2 to its new location. Behind me, you can see the sign is already up, indicating that Breeze will be stationed next to Avelo and Spirit. Taking a look here now, you can see crews hard at work getting those kiosks set up for the big day tomorrow. That's when flights will be taking off once again with Breeze Airways. RDU says the move is being made to maximize gate space in both terminals, accommodate the airline needs, and to prepare for continued growth. 15 new flights will launch later this month. It has been a busy year of growth for RDU. The airport added 4 new airlines, 25 new destinations, 49 new routes, and set a record for passenger traffic. And if you have a Breeze flight later this week, it's important to ask Breeze directly if you have any questions about terminal or gate assignments. Laura Levine, WREL News at RDU.
Brian Schrader in the WREL Live Center with new information about that Israeli airstrike that killed at least 7 aid workers in Gaza. They were delivering food to civilians. This is new video from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who called the unintentional killing of innocent people an accident, a tragic accident, and he said that it, in his words, happens in war. Israel's top general says he personally will review the initial findings of the investigation. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has been in touch with World Central Kitchen founder Jose Andres, and also the Secretary of State Antony Blinken is calling for a thorough investigation into that deadly airstrike.
Brian, thanks. The UNC system may soon not have diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. That's according to a University of North Carolina Board of Trustees member. Jim Blaine made that comment during a recent board meeting. He says he expects the state or the Board of Governors to take further action against DEI initiatives. It may be similar to Florida's ban on using state or federal dollars for diversity programs or activities.
It's my belief that it is likely that the Board of Governors or the state legislature will follow Florida's path as it relates to DEI this year. I actually think that's the right decision. I think what I've seen, in my opinion, is that DEI creates and exacerbates problems on this campus.
Blaine did not provide a timeline on when he thinks this will happen for the UNC system, but if it does, this would have far-reaching effects, including staffing positions.
The Bulls return to the DBAP tonight for the home opener against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. And fans will notice a few upgrades at the ballpark. That's where we find WREL's Kat Campbell with a look at the forecast at game time. Kat, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be warm at game time.
I would call this weather. an upgrade. I mean, it is perfect home opener weather. They're going to have new food. They're going to have new merchandise. And they've got new grass out here at the D-Path. They switched out the grass this year. It is looking good. The logo is ready to go, and they are getting the field ready. We've got great weather and dry weather for the Durham Bulls home opener. Let's take a look at the forecast. For first pitch, temperatures should be right around 83 degrees. As we get toward 8 o'clock, we're going to be in the upper 70s. But all around, really warm weather. If you are coming out here to the D-Bat to enjoy the game tonight, we've got a week of some really nice weather. They're going to be playing each night for the remainder of this week. And if you are worried about the pollen, I've got good news for you as well. They have been out here hosing down the chairs, getting rid of some of the yellow haze that we're seeing out at the D-Bat. So we expect just picture-perfect weather this evening. We do have some rain on the way tomorrow, but I think it should be out of here by the time we get to tomorrow's first pitch. We'll have a closer look at that coming up in the forecast.
It's going to be like a summertime baseball game this evening. Kat Campbell live at the D-Bat. Thanks, Kat.
So we have baseball, and we'll get more college basketball thanks to NC State. The women's basketball team will hit the road to Cleveland for the Final Four in just a few hours. And they are hoping for a big send-off. The university is asking fans to come out to Reynolds Coliseum at 3:30 this afternoon to celebrate the pack before they get on a plane to Ohio. This morning, we heard from head coach Wes Moore about the historic week for Wolfpack basketball teams.
This is your goal to get to the Final Four, but now you got to exhale and say, okay, now our goal is try to go get two more.
WRL's Brett Neese is traveling to Cleveland with the Wolfpack women. You can look for his live reports beginning today on our news at 5. And Casey Hintz and Pat Welter are traveling to Phoenix with the men. Look for their live reports later this week. And before the men's team leaves, we will hear from NC State head coach Kevin Keats. He has a news conference scheduled for this afternoon. It starts at 1 o'clock. You can watch or stream it live on WRAL News Plus, which you can find on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum 1257, or on the WRAL app.
All new here in the WRAL Live Center, we're getting our first look at the Francis Scott Key Bridge at the bottom of the Patapsco River there in Baltimore. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released these sonar images of that bridge debris there. They say it's buried in about 4 to 5 feet of mud at the bottom of the river. They're also saying that divers are working in really dangerous, difficult conditions with visibility just 1 to 2 feet. Meanwhile, this afternoon, lawmakers in Maryland are talking about a bill that would provide emergency temporary relief money to workers and also small businesses affected by that bridge collapse.
Brian, thanks. Next at noon, a major athletic brand is changing Germany's national jersey after a huge outcry. Why some demanded a change in design.
Also, a man in California fell nearly 50 feet off a trail and was clinging to the side of a rock. We have the new video showing the moments he was rescued.
And Florida's Supreme Court approved one of the nation's strictest abortion laws. But voters at the polls could change that come November. We'll explain why next.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
A 12-year-old student in Finland is in custody, charged with killing one student and injuring two others. It happened today outside the capital of Helsinki. Police say the victims are also 12 years old and were all in the same class. Officers say the student admitted carrying out the attack, but the motive is not yet known. Police say the permit for the handgun belonged to a relative of the suspect. And German soccer officials plan to redesign the number 4 on the country's national jersey after a huge outcry over similarities to a Nazi symbol. While 44 is not currently used by the German men's or women's teams, the official uniform designer Adidas allowed customers to personalize the jerseys with a number from 00 to 99. Many said the number 44 resembled the SS founded by Adolf Hitler. That option has been removed. Adidas issued a statement saying the company opposes violence and hatred in any form.
New at noon here in the WRIL Live Center this morning, President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping had their first phone call since their summit in November. Just a couple of minutes ago, we got this report from the White House. This is a readout of that call. They're trying to reestablish regular calls between the leaders of the two countries. The presidents talked about renewing ties between their militaries, also talked about more cooperation on stemming the flow of fentanyl from China, and they discussed Taiwan, reaffirming U.S. support for that island country.
Who says we don't have angels watching over us?
Hey, don't let go, man. Don't let go, okay?
A man hiking on a trail ended up tumbling over a cliff in California. But he had air angels come to his rescue. Thermal imaging shows the man clinging to the side of that cliff in Northern California. Fortunately, a Sonoma County Sheriff's Air Rescue Unit came to his rescue. You heard him say, hold on. The air rescue team placed the man in a harness and then transported him to safety.
Wow. So lucky. My goodness. What a rescue there. Daring rescue. Yeah. Side of a rock.
Oh, but my that goodness. Man was glad to get down on solid ground after that.
Yeah.
We have some cloudy skies out there.
We do. It's warm. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is on the patio in her short sleeve shirt. It's nice out there. But really all eyes on tomorrow, the WRL Weather Alert Day, Elizabeth.
Yeah, so the timeline for this is going to be 11 to 4. We'll likely have the best chance of severe storms between noon and 3, but just, you know, in case it moves a little faster, a little slower. Damaging wind is a possibility. We could see some large hail or an isolated tornado. And that's more likely in the yellow shaded area, which is in our eastern counties. And of course, the level one risk is from the triangle area westward. Here's another look at the outline of that. This is going to be, again, tomorrow. The rest of the day today looks fairly quiet. But let's jump ahead and take another look. This has been a really powerful front that I've been watching all day long. Earlier this morning, we were looking at a lot of activity closer to the low. That's moved on up into Kentucky, where we've seen a number of tornado warnings. We've had some damage reported there. And now things are getting fired up again right along the cold front. And that, of course, is pushing into Tennessee, where there's a tornado watch there. So really active across a good bit of the Midwest and parts of the South with this. Once it moves here, of course, it will be modified somewhat by the mountains as it moves across the mountains. Plus, the time of day will be a little bit, earlier, lunchtime into early to mid-afternoon. So we'll kick things off at around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning with a little bit of light, patchy rain, and we'll see that all the way until around 4 or 5 o'clock. Once we get to, say, 6 or 7, we start to see that rain picking up in intensity. So we're going to see a pretty wet morning commute. It's going to be messy out there. It's possible that we would have an isolated thunderstorm also during the morning commute. You can see some of that heavier rain, the yellows and the oranges showing up there. And then by 8 or 9, that first wave moves on out. But then here comes the cold front, and that's really going to give us the best chance for severe storms. It just produces some additional lift in the atmosphere, and that's what typically we would see in terms of having some severe weather. So that begins at around noon and continues to push into eastern North Carolina around 2 to 3, 4 o'clock, and then it moves on by. And then once it moves on out, we're going to see drying conditions, and we'll also end up seeing some much colder air that starts to filter in. Big changes for us. So here's look at the timeline again. Storms are likely planned for some extra time for the morning commute. We'll see the potential go up closer to lunchtime into around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Severe storms are possible. And then during the evening, everything moves out and will begin to dry out. Here's a live look at the gardens right now. 76 degrees, but our dew point is 64. That is really muggy. And you can see our timeline. We're going to climb it on up into the mid-80s. Take a look at this. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth was back here in the garden with me. Where there's a lot of pollen, sorry. And there's a painter out here painting this beautiful picture of the azaleas. It is a little bit breezy. The pollen's blowing around. We have winds gusting up to 25 to 30 miles per hour right now. You can see those were the actual gusts, and our gusts through the afternoon will continue at around 20 to 25. Of course, we have our WRL Weather Alert Day for tomorrow. Cats out for the Durham Bulls home opener tonight. And then, of course, we're looking at some cooler temperatures for the weekend for the Dreamville Festival. We'll talk more about that in just a little while.
If it weren't for that pesky pollen, you know, the weather is very enjoyable out there. The Lady Wolfpack getting ready for their trip to Ohio. At 4, WRL will be at Reynolds Coliseum, where fans will send off the team taking on South Carolina in the Final Four.
And a Wake Forest family was the victim of a hoax call, something called swatting. They captured the major police response on their Ring doorbell and share more about the scary experience coming up at 5:30. And next at noon, OpenAI reveals new tech that can mimic a human voice with just a 15-second sample. Why the new technology is raising concerns.
Plus, you may start to see pinwheel gardens like this popping up this month. We'll explain the power of pinwheels. There's a new AI tool that can mimic your voice, and why United is asking some pilots to take unpaid time off. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
United is asking pilots to take unpaid time off due to delays in receiving planes from Boeing. CNBC reports the airline is requesting the pilots take time off in May. A note to members of United's pilots union said there are delivery issues with 787 and 737 MAX jets, and those will affect other parts of the fleet as well. In one case, the airline expected to receive 34 Boeing MAX 9 models this year. That's been reduced to 19. United earlier said it will pause the hiring of pilots due to delays in receiving the new planes from Boeing. Google will destroy some browsing data to settle a privacy lawsuit. The class action lawsuit claimed Google secretly tracked internet use of people who had set the Chrome browser to incognito or private settings. The suit claimed Google's analytics, cookies, and apps let the company improperly track the browsing. Google has agreed to destroy billions of data records to settle the suit. Google will also let users of the incognito mode block third-party cookies for 5 years as part of the settlement. OpenAI is working on an artificial intelligence tool that can mimic human voices called Voice Engine. It uses a 15-second sample of someone speaking to generate a replica of the voice. Users can then provide a paragraph of text, which the tool will read in the person's voice. The OpenAI tool can be used for translations and reading assistance, but there's also concerns. It could also be used for disinformation and scams. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
UPS will become the main air cargo company for the U.S. Postal Service, taking the place of FedEx. The contract starts in late September and runs through early 2030. The value of the deal has not been released. The deal comes after FedEx and the Postal Service could not reach a new deal. FedEx was the main air cargo company for the Postal Service for more than two decades. And this month, you may see pinwheel gardens like this popping up around the area. In observance of Child Abuse Prevention Month, different groups will plant these pinwheel gardens, and the pinwheel stand as a visual reminder of the goal for all children to grow up happy, healthy, and ready to succeed. The North Carolina Health Department planted pinwheels at the NC State Farmers Market this morning.
One of America's strictest abortion laws get the green light, but voters could change it. We'll look at the precedent it sets after the break.
And Dreamville is just days away, and crews are busy setting up for the festival that draws tens of thousands of people to Raleigh. Coming up, Destiny Patterson looks at how much money the event brings in. And as we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
One of the nation's strictest abortion laws got the green light from Florida Supreme Court late Monday. But how long will it stay in place? The court ruled to allow Florida to prohibit abortions after 6 weeks, but also approved a November referendum that will give voters the chance to override the ban. Dana Marie McNichol reports. Protesters on both sides of the abortion debate making their voices heard outside Florida State Supreme Court. On Monday, the justices ruling to uphold one of the nation's strictest abortion laws, giving the green light for the state to ban the procedure after 6 weeks starting next month. But it was a bit of a split decision. The court also ruling voters will get the chance to decide for themselves in a November referendum that could override the ban, putting abortion back on the ballot during what's expected to be a contentious presidential election season. And it's already ramping up.
I'm running to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again, so women have a federal guarantee to the right to choose.
The Biden campaign releasing this ad just hours after the Florida court issued the ruling. It's called
trust. President Biden claiming Donald Trump would push for a nationwide abortion ban if he's reelected. Part of a $30 million spring ad campaign targeting voters in swing states. The president also sending his HHS Secretary Javier Becerra to Florida on Tuesday to highlight the administration's commitment to reproductive health care.
That was Dana Marie McNichol reporting. Former President Trump has not spoken much about abortion on the campaign trail, but said he might support a nationwide ban at 15 weeks.
We're working to find out the name of a man who drowned while swimming in Falls Lake. Crews responded to the Holly Point boat ramp just before 6:30 last night. People there say a man was spending time with friends on the lake when he decided to jump in for a swim. He didn't come up. Crews from several fire departments and other agencies searched the murky water using an underwater drone. They found the man's body just before 10 last night. They're working to notify family before they release his name. Sunnybrook Road in Raleigh is back open after a crash that left one person dead and two others hurt. Crews cleared the scene around 12:30 this morning. This was a scene when the WRAL breaking news tracker got there last night. Two cars were involved. Police say one of the people who is hurt has serious injuries, but those injuries are not believed to be life-threatening.
We are just 4 days away from North Carolina's biggest music festival. J. Cole's Dreamville Festival kicks off this Saturday, headlined by Nicki Minaj and 50 Cent. And WRAL's Destiny Patterson joins us live from Dix Park. And Destiny, what can festival goers expect this year?
Well, Michelle, just within the last 30 minutes, we've heard from city, county, and festival representatives about what you can expect going into this week. And of course, you can see preparations are very much in the works here. This is the main stage. They're in the process of building that. And people who are trying to get t-shirts, merch, you've got the merchandise tent here. Of course, the legendary festival, Ferris wheel. And then down here, this is stage two. During that news conference today, they mentioned that they are doing a lot of work on that stage specifically so that you can get a better viewing experience as well as better sound and lighting. You might also have more places to take pictures or just enjoy the art here on the grounds with more murals and displays. Another big topic, though, is transportation. The spokesperson says they're expanding shuttle service by 25%, and they're working with Uber and Lyft with the hopes of meeting that demand each night as the festival wraps up. Now, that speaks to the serious growth the festival has seen over the years. The city announced with the last year's festival, they had a direct impact of more than $145 million in the county, and they're expecting that number to keep increasing. That includes everything from transportation to food and beverage and hotel stays.
We do not see this backing off at all. We ran 94% occupancy countywide. So that's every hotel in Wake County. That's 16,000 plus hotel rooms. 94% of them were filled last year on the peak night.
Now, Gold said that that also includes neighboring counties like Johnson County and Durham counties. You can get text alerts for anything that goes on here on the grounds if you text Dreamville to 888-777. Michelle.
It's going to be a huge weekend for Raleigh. Destiny Patterson live at Dix Park. Thanks, Destiny.
We want to show you what the stock market. Oh, Beyonce and Cher were among the honorees at last night's iHeart Music Awards. Let's show you this first. Stevie Wonder presented Beyonce with the Innovator Award as her new album, Cowboy Carter, is breaking records. During her acceptance speech, Beyonce told Stevie Wonder she loved and honored him and thanked him for making a way for black entertainers. Stevie Wonder played harmonica on her rendition of Jolene. Cher was honored with the Icon Award.
Dream and you stick with it, you will have a wonderful life and it probably will come true.
Jelly Roll was a big winner in the country categories. He won for Best New Artist and Country Song of the Year. Taylor Swift won for Artist of the Year. She accepted her award in a video message. Now let's get you a look at what the stock market is doing right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average in a free fall. Look at that, down 468 points. The second day in a row, the Dow has dropped. Just a rocky start to the second quarter. The S&P 500 also in the red, down 50 points. And also a triple-digit decline for the NASDAQ, down 200 points right now.
Next at noon, finding the best support for children with autism. What parents should keep in mind when exploring different therapies.
Plus, it's life in the literal fast lane for the Winston-Salem State student turned winning NASCAR driver. What drives Raja Carruth and how NASCAR's taking notice? And if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app.
One in 36 children in the U.S. has autism. There is no cure, but there are different supportive therapy options available. A behavioral analyst says cognitive behavioral therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy are very common. But how do you know which form of therapy is best for your child? Experts say parents should rely on their child's individual needs.
With communication, we're trying to improve that communication for the individual. If they're having behaviors that are really difficult or impeding, you know, their safety, we're trying to replace those with more appropriate behaviors. We're not really trying to change anything about who that child is.
Research is ongoing to determine the factors that cause autism.
Many parents struggle to determine if their kids are too sick to go to school. A new survey from the University of Michigan reveals that more than half of parents say they are more likely to let their kids stay home if they're unsure of the seriousness of their illness. A quarter of parents say they would still send their kids to school and just hope for the best. Some parents analyze whether their child is contagious or if they will miss a test when determining if they should stay home from school. And two-thirds of adolescents and teens are concerned about their grades if they take a sick day from school. Well, getting student aid has potentially hit a new roadblock for some college-bound kids. The Department of Education says some colleges may have received incorrect tax data about some families' finances. The agency says its initial inquiry shows roughly a million free applications for federal student aid, also known as FAFSA, are affected. Problems such as calculation errors could affect financial aid to several hundreds of thousands of students.
Just into the WRL Live Center, we told you a few minutes ago about that drowning at Falls Lake yesterday. Just about 2 minutes ago, Wake County deputies gave us the name of the man who drowned, 30-year-old Henry Montes Salvatierra. Witnesses say that he jumped into the lake about 6:30 last night to take a swim and never emerged. They found his body around 10 o'clock last night. Again, Henry Montes Salvatierra, 30 years old, identified as the victim in that drowning at Falls Lake last night.
From playing video games as a kid to simulators as a teen, and now driving in NASCAR.
Last year was the dream, and now the dream is reality. So it's really cool.
Thank you.
We'll introduce you to the 21-year-old HBCU student who is blazing a trail on the NASCAR circuit.
Oh, cool. And we'll also head back out to Durham Bulls Athletic Park, where the team and ground crews are getting ready for the home season opener. Kat Campbell is live at the DBAP with a look at their final preparations. He went from playing video games to driving in NASCAR. And at the age of 21, he is just getting started. NBC's Sam Brock spoke to the senior at Winston-Salem State University about his plans for the future.
For fans of 21-year-old Raja Carruth.
There it is. Raja Carruth wins it at Las Vegas. First career win.
His accomplishments might seem to be flying in at breakneck speed.
Are you telling me, because you're 21 now, right? Only 4 years ago was your first race?
Yeah, coming on five. It'll be five in June. And so to be at this level, I feel pretty proud so far.
The number 71 truck for Spire Motorsports. Carruth just became the third black driver in NASCAR's history to win a National Series race after Wendell Scott and Bubba Wallace.
Did you see that as part of your mission?
The passion was the main thing, and it still is, right? It's authentic to my background and who I am and my family. But at the same time, you know, I'm here to be a racer.
Video games as a kid.
So you even have like tire pressure in there?
Oh yeah, you can see all the stuff.
And iSimulator machines as a teen, serving as a springboard straight to NASCAR's Drive for Diversity program here in North Carolina, following in the footsteps of drivers like Wallace and Daniel Suarez.
Well, for me, it was literally the sole reason why I was able to make the jump from racing online to in real life.
And critical support coming from his family.
Just going through the cadence of any driver and any parent that wants to support a child doing something, but as far as it being very unique, I think that's a difference, right?
Do you think Raj's accomplishments are opening the door for other people to come on through?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now with a full garage.
I appreciate their work.
Carruth, an inspiration.
Last year was the dream, and now the dream is reality. So it's really cool.
And success story that's only beginning to rev up. Sam Brock, NBC News, Mooresville, North Carolina.
That's just so cool. As part of the 2024 NASCAR Truck Series, Carruth slides into the driver's seat, revving up the number one 71 Chevrolet for the Long John Silver's 200. The race is set for this Friday at 7:30 p.m. at Martinsville Speedway in Martinsville, Illinois.
First pitch is less than 6 hours away at the DVAP. The Bulls will begin a six-game homestand against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Meteorologist Kat Campbell has the assignment of the day. She is live inside the quarter store with a look at some of the new merch. Kat, I'm looking for some inspo to update my Bulls attire. They've got everything you need. I mean, should I get this hat right here? Should I get this hat over here? We've been doing some shopping while we've been waiting for our weather hit to come up. It's going to be 83 degrees at the home opener today, so a Hawaiian shirt with the Bulls seems pretty fitting. I think this will go perfect for photojournalist Vinny there, who's behind the camera. And then I picked out this new jersey for Jazzy. Pretty cute, right? They've got a new one this year. This is different than the one they had last year. All kinds of cool stuff to see out here at the Durham Bulls Corner Store. The forecast is dry for the home opener tonight. They've got all this rain gear. You're not going to need it yet. And in fact, I don't think you're going to need it tomorrow either. It looks like the rain should be out of here just in time. But with temperatures being so warm today, we've got enough brightness where you may need the sunblock and the sunglasses. They've got those here ready for you. Elizabeth, it is looking pretty good for the game tomorrow night, but early in the day is a completely different story.
Kat, you got your hands full over there. I love those Durham Bulls squishmallows. They are so cool. I have some kids at my house who would love to get their hands on that. And so nice that the weather's going to cooperate through the game this evening. And then, of course, tomorrow we're watching this very strong line of thunderstorms that's coming through. This one has produced some severe storms. We've seen hail with this. We've seen tornadoes. We've seen a lot of wind damage with this system. The red shaded areas that you're seeing pop up, those are tornado watches. And then, of course, we see the yellow boxes. Those are the severe thunderstorm warnings, and the red boxes are the tornado warnings. So it's been pretty rough overnight last night and all day long with this system. As it moves across the mountains, it will weaken somewhat, but we're still looking at that potential for some strong to severe thunderstorms. All those circles that you're looking at, those are either wind damage or hail. The darker ones, the blue ones, are hail. And then, of course, we've had three tornado reports yesterday from Oklahoma City. We'll likely have more of those start to show up. Definitely, we had a line of storms that was producing multiple tornado warnings for several hours. Those haven't shown up yet on the storm reports, but we'll likely see that. And it's a level 4 risk, in fact, for parts of the Ohio Valley back down into Kentucky, where we're seeing some of those strong thunderstorms right now. That level 3 risk covering a huge chunk of the Midwest and parts of the South as well. So what we're looking at for tomorrow is a level 1 risk from the Triangle area westward, and that level 2 risk in our eastern counties. That's where we'd have a better chance of an isolated tornado. Let's talk about what we're going to end up seeing. Here's a look at sort of what we're expecting with this next system. We have that 1 and 2 risk of severe storms, likely to begin at around 11 a.m. in our western counties and end by about 4 p.m. in our eastern counties. Damaging wind gusts would be our biggest threat, but an isolated tornado and some large hail are possible, especially in that eastern level 2 risk area. Here's a look at the rainfall for tomorrow. It is going to be a wet commute. We'll kick this off at about 6 a.m. We may get a little bit of a break mid-morning, and then it ramps up again when the cold front comes through with a good chance for rain, and then it all starts to pull out before the evening commute, which will be good for folks trying to get home. How much rainfall? It doesn't look terribly heavy. We're going to see anywhere from a quarter to a half an inch. Now, there may be some heavier areas that reach maybe a 3/4 of an inch, but they would be small pockets most likely. Looking at a breezy afternoon, we're gusting right now 25 to 30, and we'll see windy conditions for tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, anywhere from 25 to 35 mile per hour gusts all the way through Friday. So the wind will continue. The pollen count, of course, for today is very high. Yesterday, we tied the previous, we broke the previous record for pollen by a long shot. The tree pollen tends to peak around the middle of April and then begin to taper off a little bit. But here we are at the beginning of April, so it looks like we still have plenty more pollen to have to deal with. Dreamville Festival will be cool, 59 for Saturday, 66
weeks on Sunday. So all the rain and severe storms ends tomorrow, and then it is finished for the weekend. It just turns a good bit cooler, and that will continue all the way through Monday. Renee?
Thanks, Elizabeth. More than 830 feet. That is the world record for the longest scarf crocheted by one person. After the break, we'll introduce you to the woman trying to break that record.
And here are your winning Powerball numbers. They're 19, 24, 40, 42, 56. The Powerball is 23. The Power Play is 2. No one won the big jackpot, but someone in North Carolina won $1 million. So check your tickets.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has condemned the strike that killed 7 aid workers in Gaza. American officials are demanding a thorough investigation. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu admitted it was an Israeli strike that it unintentionally hit the workers. World Central Kitchen, the group representing those workers, said they are now pausing aid efforts in the Gaza Strip.
Raleigh City Council could shake up how you vote for city leaders. It could change council members' terms from 2 years to 4 years. It could make primary elections nonpartisan, and elections could be staggered, meaning the races for mayor and the 7 council seats would not all happen in the same year. And council could add more members, bringing the total to 11. These changes are not final. A public hearing on those changes is tonight at 7.
NC State's women's basketball team will hit the road to Cleveland for the Final Four in just a few hours. Fans should come out to Reynolds Coliseum at 3:30 this afternoon to celebrate the Pack before they get on the plane. WREL's Brett Neese is traveling to Cleveland with the Wolfpack. You can look for his live reports beginning today on our news at 5.
A California woman tries to become the record holder for the longest scarf crocheted by one person. Daisy Tack says she began her scarf when she was learning to crochet in February of last year as a way to cope with some health issues. Currently, the longest crocheted scarf created by an individual is 834 feet, 8 inches. A woman in the UK crocheted it, and the scarf was certified in March of 2023. Tack says her scarf is 870 feet long.
I actually ended up averaging a little over 2 feet a day once I did all of my calculations. And in some ways, the hardest part's what you're seeing right now, which is getting it measured, getting it coordinated and pulled together.
What a pace, 2 feet a day. Guinness does not certify on the spot. Everything has to be verified. And then there's paperwork. The process could take weeks.
So impressive, though. Well, many kids were on the lookout for the Easter Bunny over the weekend. This bunny was very easy to spot. And here's why. This is Willow, a 15-pound giant bunny from Missouri. She serves as a therapy animal, helping people at nursing homes, hospitals, and schools. Willow has a Facebook page called The Adventures of Willow Bunny with posts written from her perspective.
Oh, adorable. Our pet of the day comes to us from Pawfect Match Rescue. Nugget would love a home with a nice fenced-in yard and his very own people. He loves kids, but he's young and big, so may knock over little ones with his enthusiasm, but he absolutely adores them. If you want Nugget to be yours, contact the number on your screen to learn more.
NBC News Daily is coming up next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a wonderful day and go Bulls!
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.